And we are live on Michael Angley Live. Today is Thursday, or depending, Thursday, if you want to call it. Seems like these days has a theme. Seems like stuff is having a theme these days. Last week we talked about, oh, there's going to be riots, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, looting, and the opportunists and whatever. And what do you see in the days after? Oh, all that and more, so much more. Right. So I see all kinds of people, sheeple, following their leaders or their masters, you want to call it. Right. And I listen to people. I like to listen to people rant. And there's a lot of it going on these days. You know, it's unfortunate, the whole chain of events that brought us to this point. But it happens often. It's a cycle. And you can look back all throughout history, you know, especially recent history. It's a cycle. As the cycle continues, nothing ever gets done. Nothing ever gets solved. If you want to solve problems in a society, you have to identify the problems. You have to bring, if it's people, you got to bring them to the forefront and say, okay, here's a problem we identified. How can we fix it? But also the residuals off of that problem. On especially when it comes to responsibility of people, they themselves. So if you're angry and you go out and you bust open a Target or a Walmart or whatever store, and you go in there and you steal a bunch of TV sets, stealing those TV sets, you know, doesn't change anything. It's for the better. It makes things worse, because then you have people out there, you know, who are going to say, look at this. Look at these people, what they're doing. I don't want to support that. I don't want any part of it. You know, they're being destructive, and I don't like that. I'm scared from that. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that for myself, my family, my business, and my neighborhood. Then all of a sudden, the people you're trying to win over to help change things, and it is help, because you can't change things on your own in this world. You need a group of people to help you change things, right? Whatever you're trying to change for the better. And or for the worse. I mean, it happens too. Look through history, you know, all kinds of stuff. So you want to be able to show, okay, this is a problem, we need to fix it, and this is why it's a problem, and not have people disconnected from those things. I know people who are disconnected from everything. They don't know what's going on. And then they're happy like that. It's like blissful ignorance, you know. So when I was young, it was a big deal to pay attention to the news, to the, you know, what's not just the news, but the news on the street, to know what's going on, to have an understanding of what's happening there and in the world, you know. Information. You need information. It's important to have, not be ignorant. So ignorance is bliss, yeah, but does it solve any problems? Societal problems, you know. So that's the basic gist of it. And you know, this guy that died, George Floyd, shouldn't have died. You know, cops, I'll tell you, I've also read that in the past year they've done that stranglehold on 45 other people that have passed out. More than 45 people, but 45 of them passed out from this, you know, and those are the ones that were recorded. So obviously, you know, if you're putting that kind of pressure on someone's neck, or if you're trying to block their airway, and keep in mind, I wasn't there. Like, you know, you can look at the situation, you can judge it for all you want, any which way. There's a lot of emotion behind this. There's a lot of heat behind this. It's always like that when you know, these types of situations happen. In fact, every type of situation happens exactly the same. The same type of outrage, the same type of marches. It's getting bigger when these things happen. These marches are getting bigger, especially if the person that's killed by the police is like, and I'll say basically innocent, all right? Initially, the police were called there because the guy allegedly broke the law, you know, passed a forged check or something like that, right? not a reason to die. He wasn't flashing a gun and robbing people, doing any of that. So, and he didn't attack police officers either. They had him under control straight away from all these videos, you could tell. So, big guy. They called him the gentle giant. I don't know how big he is, but it sounds like he's pretty big. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of... I watched the memorial today. It brought me to tears, you know, because the guys, his brothers, that got up talking, I have friends just like that. I mean, you know, same streets, same neighborhoods, man. I mean, these are just regular old guys. Like to have a good time in life, and, you know, people struggle in life. But I'll tell you, it really makes me sick when I see people politicize. It makes me sick to see the lack of leadership going on. It's a broke down at every level. And throughout history, anytime anything ever happens, there's always a mass breakdown of leadership. You ever notice that? So, you know, why do you pay them? What are they doing for us? You know, governors, presidents, I don't care who they are. They're all the same to me. These are all high-profile politicians. They appoint their buddies to the head of all these agencies that are supposed to be there to help you. But they can't help you because the people who are appointed never had to do anything in their lives. There's no merit to their position other than politics. So when I see society break down, I take it as a given. My role here is different in this world, you know? So
I have friends.
The things that happen,
I mean, you know,
I mean, one person can't affect that kind of change necessarily. And I say necessarily because there are times throughout history where one person did make a change and they were that catalyst. In a situation like this, you don't have that kind of leadership. Nobody. Nobody. The protesters, there's no organization, there's no leadership. There's groups within groups within groups. There's people who want to cause trouble, people who want to smash stuff, people there smashing stuff to smash stuff. Not because of this guy, this poor dead guy and his family, who's got to suffer, and his community's got to suffer, and, you know, all black people out there, if they feel like that they're going to go out into the streets and they can't trust the police. If you feel like you can't trust the police, that's pretty dismal in your existence if you're always afraid of the police. So it's the police that need to change that.
There's no merit,
but they don't, to their position, because they've got the police culture.
So,
and that police culture doesn't allow for the good cops to turn in the bad cops. It has to be pretty damn bad for them to get turned in at all.
Things that happen,
so you get politics mixed in with this. You know, who does who a favor, who looks the other way. Basically, these are enforcers. These are the keepers. The keepers of the zoo. You know what I mean? The keepers of the zoo.
Nobody.
And they know it.
The protesters,
people also know it.
No organization, no
black people know it.
Groups within groups,
and
within
you
groups,
say, oh, well, you got this sports star, they're black, they're rich, and you got this rapper, he's black, and he's rich, and look at that girl, she's, you know, an actor, and she's rich. So what? Those are the bones that they throw to those groups and say, here's a bone. And those bones are there to control. They're the ones calling for calm. Yeah, calm, that's fine. Calm is great when things are good. When things are bad, if you're calm, you end up being complacent.
It's the police that need to change that.
You need to speak out. And it's more than speech at this point. You know? Look at, you know, you say, oh, yeah, you got to vote the right people in. Look at these areas that have the most crime-ridden ghettos and poor areas in our nation. Who is in control of those places? And everyone on the list, you're going to see Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. And the worst of problems, the more liberal they're going to be. And they're going to spout out all kinds of stuff. But man, you look at those people and you know that they got some money in their bank account. They don't have problems like people have.
And you say, oh,
I listened to that dude, George Floyd's brother, talk about how they didn't have growing up and didn't have a dryer, washer, wash, hand wash clothes and have to dry it by the oven and that type of stuff. Man, I thought stuff like that when I was a kid too.
And those bones are there to control.
And it's real.
They're the ones calling for,
you know? These guys celebrated life together. They celebrated their holidays together as a family. It's real. That police officer had taken more than just a man's life that day. He took something from the community. He took something from all of us. All of us who are struggling every day to get through, no matter what level you're at. Yeah, you wake up, you struggle, you go to sleep. You struggle, you sleep.
Areas in our nation.
Right? Took something from us, stole something from us. And because of a police culture, the cops aren't bad. You need cops. You know, the people that complain about cops the most are the ones who call them the most. But you need cops to show up and help, not put their knee on your neck.
They don't have problems like,
and listen, man, I know I met a lot of cops in my life. Some of them really good, some of them not. Sometimes, just face value, you meet a cop, they walk around like a freaking a rooster. Sometimes with attitude, that they feel like they're carrying a gun and they have a badge. I'll tell you something, that attitude needs to go. And I think it's starting to. I think that police officers are starting to see that people are fighting back, and then they become afraid of that, you know? So, but do I think that the solution is to defund the police department? No. They want to take $250 million away from the police department in L.A.? You know what it's going to do? It's going to hurt a lot of people. Those cops are basically there to help, right? To protect and serve. You know, if they protect and serve, I don't know. Maybe they don't protect and serve. Maybe they harass and intimidate. You know, maybe they persecute. So if you stand back and take your own emotion away from this and just be, you know, just look at the results, analyze it, look at the evidence, you definitely see the pattern. And then you look at the television news, Fox News, CNN. CNN's funny to me. They're all funny to me. I'm not going to give any of them any credit. Because they're just there to race bait and hate bait and get people to watch it. Whatever your opinion is, if you're that card-carrying conservative, you're going to watch Fox, right? You know? It seems like the conservatives' last bastion, aside from radio, people like Rush Limbaugh or whatever.
And they become afraid of that, you know.
And on the other side, you got the CNNs and the MSNBCs, the bleeding hearts, completely just full of just made up tripe. I don't even know how they can sit there with a straight face and do this. It's like some kind of improv comedy routine, you know. It's not funny though. And I look at these people, and I just feel sorry for all the ones who are caught up in the muck and the mire of the whole sheeple herding. They're just herding other people to, you know, not give them the truth and the real information, let people make up their own minds. They don't want you to. They don't want you to. They don't want you to make up your own mind. They don't want you to have your own opinion. They stomp on you if you say something that goes against their grain, because their opinion is worth more than yours. That's what a lot of people think. How many friends I lost in the Trump wars of 2016 on social media? And I'll tell you something, no good friends. None of my real friends.
Aside from radio. People like Rush Limbaugh or whatever.
They didn't abandon me because of my politics. I don't abandon them. And I'm not even a Trump fan. I have family, that is. I have friends who are. I don't fault them, even though they follow blindly. You know? I don't do that. And that's just me. I don't expect people to live how I live. I don't want people to live how I live. my opinions and mine. If I share them and you say, hey, that's cool, or if you say, oh, that's freaking stupid, that's fine. It doesn't matter. We're just here to have a good time, like right now on this show. I'm just here to have a good time and laugh about things and cry about things, or just if you're outraged, you say you're outraged or whatever. But this is just me. But there's a lot of you out there. And everybody's got their own opinions. And then there's things that we could see as a group of people that we know is wrong. And you have to say it's wrong. If Trump does something wrong, you need to come forward and say it. You can't just sit there and be complacent and say, oh, no, no, whatever, and make excuses. One of my favorite things to say in this world is that I don't have excuses for myself, and I don't make excuses for other people. One of the most frustrating things probably for people that I was in relationships with is how brutally honest I am. You know? And it's more about, oh, yeah, I mess up. I'm not perfect, man. Are you kidding? I mess up again. I'll mess up more. I'll mess up till the day I die. I'll probably mess up the day I die. That's probably how I'll die. Fall off a cliff, do something stupid, crash a plane. I don't know. Whatever. And then I move on. See? I don't wallow in my own misery. Some people want you to suffer. If you did something, you messed up, you're in a relationship, but I got friends who go through it all the time. I went through it too. You know what? People make mistakes. And sometimes people don't make mistakes. Things happen because they were crafted that way. They happen because the energy moved it in that way. You can't really control stuff these days when it comes to certain energy flowing around to a limited degree. Yeah, your self-control. That's all. But people get caught up in stuff. That's all I'm saying. And you got to move on. So, yeah. And, you know, and I'm like that with other people. Forgiveness is beautiful. And when people do me wrong, and they do, I don't wallow in it. I don't look at that person every time and say, I mean, it depends on how they did you, I guess. But, you know, especially if it's minimal or over money or whatever, people are people. You got to have forgiveness in your heart. And you have to be able to look at people and say, okay, you know, is it worth not talking to someone for the rest of your life? Not dealing with them, not having them in your life because some thing. I mean, minor thing. I know people who shut people out over minor stuff. That's kind of funny to me because then they have this thing. There's always, you know, ever know someone do that? They shut someone out, right? They don't talk to them in years. But every time you talk to that person, they bring the other person up and they start griping about it and whatever, like it bothers them. They shut them out, but yet it bothers them. And the best thing to do is talk to people, man. Get on that plane, get on that level and say, you know, how do you make things better and that type of stuff. Maybe you can't. Sometimes you can't make things better. Sometimes things are just what they are. But when it comes to people, I know what they are, you know, and nobody's perfect. So people, you know, have questioned that of me throughout my life. How can you forgive someone like that or whatever? Or you treat your enemies as good as your friends. And I don't know, man. Keep your enemies, friends close, your enemies closer or something like that. Do I have enemies? Maybe those people perceive it like that. I mean, that statement was made by an attorney I had one time. And I was in a free speech case where the city of Ithaca had me arrested for doing my television show. And I won the case ultimately, but it was a big deal, you know, in the news, local news at the time. And then the mayor was this real dick. And he, so was the DA at the time. They're all dead now or whatever. I don't know. It didn't last long after that kind of energy, you know what I'm saying? But, those types of people, yeah, I don't know. It's a long story. But anyway, I had this attorney, and then we were walking through this area in Ithaca called the Commons, right,
which is like, it wasn't a nice street where cars could drive down and park and go inside the stores. They decided years ago to make it into a concrete type of walkway, open mall concept, and for the crackheads and meth heads to hang out and do nothing all day. So that's what it is now. Saying we were cutting through the commons from the court building back to the law office when all this was going on, and we saw the mayor, and then, you know, I saw him and I was like, hey, how you doing? I was all nice and stuff, and, you know, and he had like this fake smile and whatever, even though he was a big reason why all this stuff was happening. And you know what? I didn't see him as an enemy. I saw the government and their restriction of free speech and the things that they didn't like. I saw that as the enemy, you know? So it was much bigger than that one turd. It was much larger. And then it became a whole mission. So, but she's like, treat your enemies really nice. Yeah, man. That's like Jesus Christ, right? He said, turn the other cheek. He said, turn the other cheek. Someone does you wrong, turn the other cheek. And then when they turn their other cheek, you put your foot up their ass, man. I think it's called... I think it's called sandalfoot style in martial arts. But yeah, it definitely makes people think when they encounter a little sandalfoot style. And sometimes people need that, you know. But am I a gracious person? I like to think so. You know, I'm not generally in a bad mood, you know, but I'm not the kind of person that falls apart either completely, depending, you know. You lose someone you love or something like that, that's different. But I'm talking about like from situations or the internet, you know. There's a lot of people who are just on the internet who get just so heated and angry and flipping, man. They're flipping. I love that stuff. I eat it up alive. I suck it up like a vacuum cleaner, a really expensive vacuum cleaner. I could really suck. Because I love it. And when I see that emotion, they're like, bah! it's worse when you laugh at them, you know? It's worse. In person, it's hard. You ever have someone going off on you? And there's just something about it. It doesn't piss you off. It makes you laugh. It makes you smile. And your face goes from like, oh, to like, you're trying not to smile. You want to smile, but you ever have that? You try to push your little lips down because you don't want to smile and laugh at someone's stupid face because they're going off. They're flipping about chicken McNuggets being cold or something. Some crazy stuff. Yeah, man. Those are the people that whip out guns and start shooting people too. I remember that happened a while back. This dude like killed a bunch of people at McDonald's because he didn't like the chicken McNuggets. Yeah, they're out there. They are out there. And they get empowered. Those crazies. There's crazies out there. So you just got to be able to deal with it as it comes. You know? If you can. Because there's a lot of it. But being real is the best way to be. And I think just people are so sickening right now because of all the stay home stuff. And then the riots, it went from stay home. And we talked about this 5 weeks ago. I said, it's going to be riots in 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it was. Cause it was easy to see, an easy call. People locked up inside their homes, people sitting around broke, worried, scared, all kinds of bad emotions. Then, no goddamn leadership calling for calm or, you know, only the only thing they said the same thing. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. I hear that. I was in a supermarket and the times are right. I go to the supermarket 3 times a week, maybe. I'm in, I'm out. I'm like Zorro, you know, Zorro with a sword. Except I don't bring my sword into the supermarket. I run in there. I get my stuff. Shoo, 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 shoo. Maybe I should start dressing like Zorro. That'd be kind of cool.
And then I check out and get the hell out of there, right? I don't like to spend any time in there. So every time I go to into the situation, I hear on the radio, we're all in this together. Like, you know, they have the overhead type of radio. We're all in this together. And I'm thinking, no, we're not. I'm not in this together with anyone. Are you in this together with anyone? I mean, it really comes down to, I don't believe it. And it comes off as very, very 1984 type of, you probably heard that referenced a lot because of all the power and control and the loss of privacy going on these days, you know? So my biggest problem is with the situation is that no one's going to learn anything from it. And people are just going to move on and do their thing as they do, you know? And I worry about civilization in general. Because the things that we need to rely on in this country, in the world, is kindness, right? You might think there is a lot of kindness going on, and I'm glad that these protests have become less violent, even though there was like cops getting shot. And you gotta say to yourself, man, you know, the police, they're out there to help people for the most part, but people are afraid of them. It really comes down to that. It comes down to the police needing to be community police officers and make people feel good. So if you're a police officer and you're out there and you know, you meet someone on the street and they say hello to you. You say hello back to them. You don't disregard them. You don't, you know, give them an attitude like, I mean, if anything, yeah, you don't want to show weakness, but you don't want to show that you're so rigid that you can't communicate, you know, or your communication is limited, almost like, how dare you speak to me? I've run into that in my life. I've gotten that. I've gotten both. I've gotten, you see a police officer on the street, you say, hey, how you doing? They say, hey, how you doing back? You have a little chit-chat conversation. And then it moves on, you know. But those are the people who will be more apt to understand and have an idea of what community policing is all about, right? So on the other side of it, the sad side is when these things happen, people get killed. Black people get killed by police officers. It breaks into this cycle, but it's a statement to people out there. And it's more, you know, because I've listened to these guys and, you know, on Fox or whatever, and other people, like, you know, their rants that they did on what's what and who's who. And they don't get it, man. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get any part of it. To listen to a whole bunch of wealthy people, white and black, on Fox, if they're on the news and they're doing their thing, they're getting paid. They're doing all right. You know, it doesn't matter. They're on there. When it doesn't matter what color they are. If they say that there's no such thing as racism, or you know, they refuse to think that there's racism in America. It's like, what are you talking about? You don't get it. And then in the same conversation, 5 minutes later, you get them to agree. Oh, yeah, well, this is racist and that's racist, you know. So basically, I liked what the preacher said at the Floyd Memorial that they don't want, they black people don't want justice just for black people. They don't want special justice. It's about justice for all, justice for everyone, every person, the same justice. People don't want to get snuffed out because of the color of their skin, you know. So I saw Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, get up, start talking. And that guy, he got booed. He got booed to the point where he couldn't talk. Mr. Big Liberal mayor, New York City, right? With all the crap he spouts out, got stuck getting booed. And he thought that was his group. And that's what gets you. You see the other one? You got another big Democrat operative politician caught on a hot mic saying that he didn't care about the riots. He said if it wasn't for the election, he wouldn't care. He said that. So you want to know why there's problems? You know? You want to know why there's problems in the United States of America when it comes to race relations? Is because of that. And he's a Democrat. So, and I use that, you know, I'm not just complaining about Democrats, but these are the people who are the biggest hypocrites I've seen, who play the holier-than-thou type of route. And they talk to people as groups, not as people. They talk to black groups. They talk to transsexuals. They talk to Latinos. They're all groups that they compartmentalize. And then they say, well, I'll give you this because you deserve this. Here's special stuff for you. And, oh, you over there, you're going to get special stuff too. But what do they make happen? Look at these cities that are all run by the biggest hardcore lefties, and they're all terrible. Every last one of them. They're all terrible. So I don't understand why more people don't see through it, or they're going to listen to a few things, you know, on headline news like some goddamn sheep. And you're going to listen to these people, and you're going to listen to what they say, and then you're going to repeat what they say. Then you're going to argue with your family and your friends, all the people around you, you know, or if all they agree with you, that's cool. If they don't agree with you, then knock you out, man. This one guy, Mike Burton, he's on Facebook. Look him up. Send him a message. You know, I was friends with this dude for years, years and years and years. I said one negative thing about Trump, and I don't even know if it was all that negative. You know what? I took offense to Trump calling Xi Jinping his good, close, personal friend. I took offense to that. Then you have all the people, no, 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 you don't understand. This is why he did that. People are, these are political analysts, right? No, they're not. They're talking like how they understand why he said that. And I said, in the height of the virus, with all the stuff China lied about, all the stuff they did, to say that it has his good buddy is disrespectful to every American. Because Xi Jinping is not his good buddy, right? Not. They could gut him like a pig. Xi Jinping would have a glass of freaking sake and laugh about it. Yeah, I said sake. That's right. They drink that in China. All kinds of stuff. Whiskey, too. But seriously, one dude, I said one thing about the president, and then he knocks me off of there. I was friends with this guy for like, I don't know, 10, 12 years. He's an ex-cop turned medium. You know, I listened to all of his exploits about Wyoming and Florida because he's from Florida and all this other stuff. Staunch Christian conservative Republican. You know, I don't call people out. If someone's ranting on their social media, I don't argue with them, even if I have the opposing view, because it's not my thing. It's not my timeline, not my page. Whatever, that's what they do. You know, I don't want to engage with people like that. But I'm allowed to say whatever I want to say on my own thing. And if people call me out, then they don't understand how it works. You know, because it's just my opinion. You want to have a debate? That's great. I love a nice debate. But it's my opinion. and it's going to be your opinion and whatever. And sometimes I have good friends that sometimes we have to agree not to agree. Doesn't mean you hate each other. You know, it just means that you don't necessarily agree. Maybe you agree on some stuff and other stuff. But in this world, people shut you out so fast. This guy. And then I was like, ew, I haven't seen any posts from this guy in a while. Look, I was gone. And then I sent him a message. I was like, you know, what happened? Didn't answer me. I'm like, all right. All right, you bitch. All right, you bitch, Mike Burden. How dare you? How dare you? You and your mustache. And it's sad because, you know, we shared things with the paranormal and whatever. Even though he put a lot of paranormal stuff out that was like internet rigged, you know, Photoshop and whatever. Me, I like the real stuff. I focus on real. If you know, listen to my other show, Discovery Paranormal, you know that I talk about real stuff. And it's awesome when you have real evidence of things happening. It's awesome, you know. So anyway, but that's people. And people, you know, instead of having an understanding for each other. And they're like, you know, you think I like what Trump did going out to that church with the Bible? This stupid stunt. But then they're like, oh, they had to move all of the protesters and they tear gassed them. Then it turns out that they didn't tear gas them. And then here is the media just trying to sell a story, you know, trying to sell a story to you. It's disgusting. Because they're using you. They're abusing you. You know, they're not telling you the right story. They're cherry picking. But then he comes out, Trump, and says, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that they were going to tear gas people. I just said I wanted to go out there. Oh, my God. I don't know what's worse. The fact that I mean, they move people out of the way, a peaceful protest. That's pretty bad to begin with. They have the right to assemble and protest. There was a curfew going into place. Nobody was listening to the curfew, so I guess they had the legal right. It was actually before the curfew went into place, just so he can come out, stand in front of the church, and hold up a Bible and get his picture taken. I mean, that was useless. And that pissed people off, man. I'll tell you, because there are people who defend Trump, and they're teetering. They're ready to fall off the cliff. They're teetering. And they're like, well, now he's pissing me off, you know. And that pushed people, a lot of people, over the top. He should have just come out. If he wanted to assert his dominance over the protesters and all the stuff going on, which he didn't really need to do, but in his mind, he needed to do that. Because that's what it was. It was his move of law and order to assert dominance. What it did was piss people off like Pat Robertson, who is a big, giant evangelical. People follow him like he's some religious whatever. Jesus. And he's denounced that, denounced Trump, denounced everything he did, every step of the way. He denounced all that stuff, right? Then you get General Mattis, who has been quiet all this time. Mad Dog Mattis. You know? Mattis ripped Trump for dividing America. So he's never seen anything like that in the president, and he's anti-constitution. Man, oh man, he nailed him hard. And then, you know, of course, Trump comes back. Well, he, you know, I took him off the trash heap because Obama fired him, and I should never have hired him because Obama fired him. So one day, like, Trump is praising people. They're the best, they're the greatest, they're the biggest, they're the grandest. They're it. The next day, after they turn on him, he's a horrible, whatever, I'd never use him. He's got no loyalty from people around him because he pays for people. And when the money runs out, the loyalty's gone. You know, even sometimes loyalty is not even there and the money's there. So this is what we're dealing with. And all right. So my criticism, the first night of these riots, when the mayor of Minnesota, right? Not Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. When the mayor came forward that night and let people burn down the police station. He let them burn down buildings. You know, they let them loot places, destroy things, hurt people, stood down, left the people of the city without police, without anything, without even fire departments, because they were too busy responding to the other fires. And then he goes on TV crying, looking like Patrick Dempsey. Anybody else out there feel like that? Like there's like a younger Patrick Dempsey? I was like, is there a Patrick Dempsey become mayor? Well, he comes out crying. Boo. People's lives are more important than buildings, bricks and mortar, bah. That's not the point. The point is to put your big girl panties on and push back the people who are doing the crime. Yeah, let people protest. Let them yell and scream. Let them do all that. That's what you got the right to do. You don't have the right to burn down businesses. You don't have the right to cause that trouble out there. You don't. And destroy businesses in the same neighborhood where people have to live. But like last week on the show, we talked about containment. This is containment. This is the way it's always been. Then you get people afraid that people are going to march out of those neighborhoods and go into their neighborhoods. That's what happened. I have friends on Long Island, especially on the North Shore. Great Neck. We call it Little Israel. People that are scared because they got texts from whomever and messages from other people spreading trouble saying that there's going to be people coming to their neighborhood, kicking down their doors, you know, robbing, raping, and pillaging and plundering the village, man. Then you get people picking up their guns in their homes, going outside, standing in front of their houses with their gun in their hands. I know this chick, she did that with pink fuzzy slippers, or the blue fuzzy slippers, the funniest element. Looking all hot with that gun, with her little tiny magazine in there. And then saying, I'll defend my home. One of her friends, a guy was like 85 years old, he's outside with his rifle, some old M1, probably got from the war, to defend his home. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Look at these people. So when you have a mob out of control and you allow that mob to be out of control and there's no operations around it where the police are going to arrest them or try to stop them in any way, what's to stop that mob from kicking in your door? What's to stop them from taking all your stuff? What's to stop them from beating you down and taking everything that you have? What's to stop them? Nothing. Zero. If the police aren't there, the only thing that's going to stop them is the chick with the blue fuzzy slippers with the gun in her hands. If she knows how to shoot, which I'm sure she does. I know she does. So some people don't. You'd be surprised. I was in the gun biz. There are people out there who, if you're buying used guns or selling you guns or whatever, you'd be surprised how many that you actually find that were never shot. Like people buy the gun, they put it in their closet and they keep it there. I like using stuff, you know? And I think that if you buy a gun or anything, any kind of tool or anything, you should use it and do something with it. Otherwise, it's sitting there useless, right? Exercise equipment, too. If you want to buy exercise equipment, you go to garage sales. And you will find whatever you want out there in a garage sale, brand new, in the box. Maybe they open the box just to take the directions out, to look at it, to put the directions back in, and then put it aside. Most people, 70% of people who buy exercise equipment online don't use it. It ends up sitting there. So yeah, there's that. I was like that with appliances, and then I stopped myself. The day I stopped myself was when I was going to buy a pasta maker, this Ronco pasta makers, all the rage, man. All the rage on TV. You know, probably nobody was really buying them all that much. I don't know anybody actually had one. But I was like, man, you know, let me tell you, at 4 o'clock in the morning, when you got a couple whiskeys in you and you're watching that infomercial after a night out, and you see that pasta machine making all that delicious pasta, you say to yourself, I could do that. And they're like, oh, it's easy. Oh, it's even easy. I could do that. And it cleans easy. Oh, it's even better. You had me at easy. I like it. Tasty pasta. Then the guy's like, look, chocolate pasta. Chocolate.
you pick up the phone, because those are days, no internet, you know what I mean? You dial that 800 number, bleep, 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 and you say to yourself, this is what I said to myself, I'm not going to buy this stupid thing. It's going to sit either on my counter when there's no room anyway, or under the counter collecting dust or some shit. I don't need it. And I didn't buy it. And if I bought it, I'd still be sitting there in its box. I might have used it once or twice. So, yeah. I couldn't justify it. Since a pound of dry pasta is a buck. You know, I just couldn't justify it. Sometimes I bought an ice cream maker, right? Nice one. Wooden on the outside, looked all classic, figured, yeah, going to make ice cream for the kids and their friends and all that, right? Like it means something, making homemade ice cream for people these days. Kids don't care. They want to go in the freezer. They want to open up a case and eat whatever is there and it's done. They don't even care what it is. You know, it could be poop flavored ice cream. They're just going there and tear through it. It's just, just whatever, whatever. So yeah, boy, invested a ton of money in a stupid machine. It was like $100. Bought the salt for it. Learned how to do it. Watched info things on YouTube. And then I'm sitting there. I used it once. I'm like, okay, I gotta go buy, you know, 2 quarts of heavy cream, and whatever. It's like I go to the store. I spend like $25 buying stuff to make like a gallon of ice cream. And I'm like, why am I spending so much money to make some freaking ice cream? Then it's a whole process, man. This was the electric one, so at least I didn't have to sit there and turn it by hand. Because that's really lazy. You don't want to do that. But turn the thing on. A little time later, ice cream comes out. Call everybody. Everybody, ice cream's ready. Come on out. People are like, it's all right. Like, what do you mean it's all right? I spent $25 on this. You know how much ice cream I could have bought for $25? Lots. And I'm talking about gelato. I'm not talking about some Breyers. I don't mess around with Breyers. Disgusting. Gelato, man. You know? And I can go out and get fresh gelato. That's why you have to be able to be smart with your money, and you have to be able to think about things. At one time, I wanted an RV, right? Recreational vehicle. And they're cool. They got the whole bed, they got couches, bathroom. Man, they got RVs now that are beautiful. So I was looking at them, and they're expensive, man. And then I was watching this commercial about them, right? And they were featuring some RV that was like $300,000. Like, freaking $300,000 for an RV. If I had the $300,000 for an RV, there's so many better things you can spend your money on. Because you got to buy it. You got to store it when you're not using it. Because if you're spending $300,000 on an RV, most likely you're not living in it, right? So then it depreciates from the time that you buy it and you use it. Every time you put miles on it, it needs gas, it needs insurance, registration, all that stuff. You got all the hoops you got to jump through. So imagine this, right? Let's say you did spend. Let's say you have that kind of coin that Trump goes totally nuts and gives everybody some $300,000 stimulus, right? Not saying it ain't going to happen. There's things are pretty wonky. Pretty wonky out there. Yeah, it won't happen. But let's say you did. Now, you want the RV for trips. And, you know, so wherever you go with the RV, you still have to go into some kind of RV park and camp and plug in and plug the water in and plug the poop line in, whatever the hell, whatever you got going on. It's a lot of work. And you still have to pay for it. So let's just take the $300,000. Let's say you use the RV for 10 years and you got rid of it. And by the time you get rid of it, it's worth nothing. You're lucky someone comes and buys it, right? Okay. But you got 10 years, $300,000, and then it's way more than $300,000, obviously, with all those other costs. But let's say $30,000 a year. Can you think of a better way to spend $30,000 in 1 year on vacations? And depending on how much vacation time you even have. I mean, really? It's mind-boggling what people spend money on sometimes and then what they don't get out of what they're doing. Meanwhile, like there's a dude on YouTube. I check his channel out once in a while. He's got a little two-wheel drive Volkswagen van, and he goes around camping out in places, you know, up in the Northwest. Just a dude, he's chilling out, he's got the snow, and he digs out the snow, and he's got his whiskey, and he's having a good time by himself. You know, that's cool. That's appealing to me, man. And he's living his life. He's not going crazy with the whole RV. He's camping out, and he's getting his life camping out. You know what I mean? But you know what? My friend Bill used to say that there's a seat for every ass. So wherever that seat is for your ass, I hope you find it. I know, as for me, I'm not going to be buying any kind of RV anytime soon. No RVs for me, man, you know? I just want to have a good time, you know? If you're going through hell, keep going, right? That's what Winston Churchill said. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a good time while you're doing it. You just got to stay away from the machine, because the machine doesn't want you to have a good time. The machine wants you to be subservient for it. So keep that in mind as you travel through life. Watch out for yourselves. There's a lot of dangerous people out there still hurting people for no reason. There's gangs of youths going around picking on kids because of their skin color. Like white kids getting beaten up here and there, and I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. So just be careful. Be careful. Be mindful that when people are angry and heated, that they're capable of anything. So be safe out there for everyone. We're all in this together. Not really. This is Michael Angley, Michael Angley Live, and I will talk to you guys on the show next week on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Pass Christian, saying good night, y'all.